Good afternoon, Luma Digest with me, Noura. And today we are looking at something that, honestly, I have been thinking about since this morning. Motors, agents, and the politics of power. That is the headline. And it is not just a clever turn of phrase. Saturday brought three distinct threads, and they are pulling in completely opposite directions. On one side, engineering is getting more accessible. On the other, the infrastructure to power it all is becoming a proper battleground. Let's start with robotics, the motor problem. So there is this robot, the Unitrigo 2. It is a quadruped, looks like a dog, costs a fraction of what comparable robots did 5 years ago. The trick is the motors. They are compact, they are capable, and they are proprietary, which means if you want to use them, you are locked into Unitree's ecosystem, until now. A researcher named Thomas Flails just reverse-engineered them. Not the hardware, the firmware. He used x-rays to understand the internals, did some methodical sleuthing, and extracted the firmware key from the bootloader. Then he cracked the encryption, and now he is building an open-source replacement. Think about what that means for a second. These motors were not the bottleneck before. They were the lock. Now they are the opportunity. Once the firmware is open, these actuators work anywhere. That changes what a builder can do in an afternoon. You are not buying a Unitree product anymore. You are buying a motor that happens to be good, and you can do whatever you want with it. This is the kind of work that transforms a locked product into a platform. And it matters because robotics has been held back for years by proprietary components that do not talk to each other. This is one less barrier. Now, speaking of the robotics ecosystem, ROS 2, Lyrical Luth, shipped this week. ROS, the robot operating system, is the backbone of most serious robotics work. This release brings more packages, better tooling, clearer paths from simulation to hardware. The ecosystem is maturing fast. Grid Dynamics just acquired Ekumen, a major ROS consultancy. Fanuc is partnering with Google on physical AI. And the Robotics Summit kicks off next week in Boston with a packed calendar. Brian Gerke from Open Robotics is keynoting. His talk is about the open source foundation needed for AI-powered robots, and the argument he is making is, well, it is becoming non-negotiable. In the age of physical AI, the best work happens in the open, because when robots are learning and adapting, you cannot afford to build on closed infrastructure. The iteration cycles are too fast, the risks are too high, you need transparency. So that is the first thread. Motors unlocked, ecosystems maturing, robotics is opening up. But here is where it gets interesting. Over in AI and machine learning, Princeton researchers just demonstrated something called continual harness. And this one, you need to sit with it for a moment. It is an AI agent that learns and adapts while it is running. Not between sessions, not after a reset, while it is running. In their tests, they used a Pokemon environment. The agent built its own helper tools. It stored strategies. It refined them. It improved continuously, session after session, without starting over. Now, the Pokemon bit is just the demo. The principle scales. What they have built is an agent that carries memory forward, that can modify its own instructions, that does not forget what it learned yesterday. This is the infrastructure for agents that actually get better at what they are doing. Not smarter in the abstract, better at the specific thing you ask them to do. That compounds in ways previous agent designs could not. And this ties directly into the next story, because all the model labs are pivoting. OpenAI, Anthropic, DeepSeek, Google, they are all moving in the same direction. The winning product is no longer just the model. It is the model plus the harness, plus the workflow plus the UI. The market is reshaping around agentic systems, not raw model capability. Which makes sense, right? Because nobody wants a language model, they want the thing the language model does. And the gap between those two is the entire product layer. The labs are realizing that if they do not own that layer, someone else will. So agents are not a feature anymore, they are the product. And now, builders and platforms, because this is where the capability starts to land. Anthropic launched something called Project Glasswing. It is an AI agent that audits software for security vulnerabilities. In 1 month, it found over 10,000 high or critical severity vulnerabilities in essential software. Not toys, not test projects. Essential software that people rely on every day. That is not a proof of concept, that is a shift in capability. Security audits used to be expensive, time-consuming, manual work. Now you can run an agent and get a report in hours. The bottleneck just moved. It is no longer finding the vulnerabilities, it is triaging them, because 10,000 is too many to fix at once. So now the question is, which ones matter? Which ones can wait? Who decides? Industry is going to have to adapt to the volume. That is not a small thing. And then there is Google I/O. Fireship did a recap. And the theme is, well, everything is becoming agentic. Gemini is embedded in every product, new agent infrastructure, omni-multimodal capabilities, the TPU roadmap. They are not building better models, they are building better agents that use the models. There was a panel on vibe coding and agentic software development. The argument is that engineering is shifting from writing boilerplate to curating outcomes. You describe what you want. The agent writes the code, you review it. You refine the description, the loop tightens. Which sounds brilliant until you ask, who is responsible when the code breaks? Who understands how it works? What happens when the agent makes a decision you would not have made? Those are not hypothetical questions. They are the questions builders are asking right now. So that is the second thread. Agents that improve themselves, labs pivoting to agentic products, tools that audit and generate at scale, the capability is real, the infrastructure is landing. But then there is the third thread. And this one is harder to ignore. Azim Azar wrote a piece called "The AI Backlash is the Only Thing Growing Faster Than AI Revenues." And he is right. Public resistance to AI is accelerating, not slowing, accelerating, despite record company profits, despite record investment, despite every pitch deck saying this is the future. Why? Because the costs are visible and the benefits are distant. Muddy water from data center construction, job losses that hit today, energy grids under strain. And what are ordinary people getting in return? A chatbot? A tool that makes someone else more productive? During globalization, the public had no veto power. Supply chains moved, factories closed. The decisions were made by people far away. But AI infrastructure needs land, water, energy, planning permission. It needs to be built somewhere, and that somewhere is full of people who can say no. So the backlash is not irrational. It is not Luddism. It is a power struggle, and ordinary people have more use than they did before. Which brings us back to the headline, Motors, Agents, and the Politics of Power. One thread is about unlocking motors so builders can do more. Another is about agents that learn and improve without limits. And the third is about a public that is looking at all of this and asking, who benefits? Who decides? Who pays the cost? These three threads are not separate. They are the same story. Technology is getting more capable, faster than the structures around it can adapt. And the gap between capability and governance is where the tension lives. So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. The motor work is brilliant. The agent research is fascinating. The infrastructure is landing, but none of it happens in a vacuum. The public resistance is not noise. It is signal. And if the people building these systems do not engage with the backlash honestly, the backlash will engage with them. Through regulation, through planning refusals, through democratic process. Something to think about this weekend. And that is your Luma Digest for this afternoon. Thanks for being here. I will see you next time.